And I hope you can feel it as well. Hey, did you miss me? It is Monday, the 7th day of July, 2025. My hot time flies, doesn't it? The next, just in case anyone's wondering, the next holiday now is Labor Day. I mean, the next real big holiday. So think about that in your mind. Is that mind blowing or what? I'm going to welcome everyone to tonight's episode. After a week absent, back with a powerful show. My first guest, or my guest right now, is Brandon House. Now, folks, if you don't know Brandon House, I don't know what rock you're living under. I really don't. Aside from, he really should be on the cover of like GQ magazine. Is that still a thing? Look, I don't know. But he's got all the heavy hitters. His Rolodex is kept under lock and key, of course. But he's just a fantastic broadcaster, investigative journalist. I can just say a lot about him. Plus, I learned something and about Brandon today. A couple of our mutual friends actually said, check him out. He's got he does opera. I mean, he sings. He's an incredible singer. And look, I knew that he sung well, but I didn't realize that this guy could, give Pavarotti a run for his money. But here we are. All right. Having said all of that, we do have some serious issues to discuss. Brandon House broke just a fantastic, incredibly concerning news story today. If you go to worldviewtube.tv or .com, I'm sorry.
/IRS.
Right. Worldviewtube.com. Okay, just go there and bookmark that website. But for tonight, /IRS, the link is going to be in the program description box at HagmanPI.com. So, but anyway, Brandon, come on and let's talk. Come on, boy.
Great to be with you, number one. Thank you. You're looking thin and tan. I haven't seen you in a while. You're looking 10 years younger. What are you doing?
It's the embalming fluid.
And your hair. You've got plenty of that still.
I've never had a problem with hair. Believe me, but that's a weird thing to say, but no. But you look great, man, too. It's been a while. So look, I don't want to waste your time. I know that you are busy. You're one of the busiest guys in broadcasting I know. By the way, tell Mike Lundell I said hello. And
I will. I was just texting with him the other day. Well, actually, okay. I talked to him. Even though we don't run the network with him anymore, back to Worldview Tube, we talk regularly. And my son is still, like your son-in-law works with you, my son works with me, and we still do some technical support for Mike's network.
That's great, man. Yeah. Look, I know he's been through hell and back, and it's a horrible thing. Which, by the way, a lot of this stuff we're going to be talking about later in the program. But Brandon, what's going on with your breaking news story?
Well, I want to make it very clear. Thank you for having me on about it. You're, other than my show, you're the first show to get it. I'm on a few more shows tomorrow, but you're the first show that we offered it to outside of my show. And so I'm glad that you got to get this, and thank you for having me. And I want to make it very clear tonight. I'm speaking about our own experience, but I want to make sure people understand this is not about me or our organization. This is happening to entrepreneurs, conservative groups, conservative organizations, Christian groups all over the country. Okay. So I just happen to have a platform, and also a platform with guys like you, thankfully, to get the message out. But if we're going to make America great again, Donald Trump has got to spend less time concentrating on the Middle East. And I'm a big supporter of Israel. I got my Israeli flag in the corner, but I'm an American first. And we have got to get America back and can concentrate on America. And if we don't get rid of the United Nations out of America, and if we don't get rid of the IRS, or at least reform it drastically, America will never be great again. We will continue to slide toward third world status. And I talked to, I won't name him, but I talked to a very close Trump confidant over the weekend who's also got IRS problems. And I was telling this individual what was happening to us. And he said, You know what this tells me is the weaponization of the IRS is still happening even under the Trump administration. So what happened is, and I want to make sure the audience understands what I'm about to say. I'm going to repeat it so people don't miss what we're saying here. This is how ludicrous it is. Okay. And we put the whole thing out in a press release at worldviewtube.com/IRS. But in 2021, at the height of COVID, my accountant, it's a big firm. They got like 25 offices, 250 employees. This is no small firm. But we go with a good firm because we're a target, right?
All right.
And we want to pay our taxes and dot every I, cross every T.
By the way, as do we,
right,
for the record, because we are targets. You are exactly right. I've gotten letters of inquiry from the IRS really beginning in 2021 through the present. So, however, our firm addressed and apparently satisfied all of those. But go on, because
you've gotten several letters, and we did too. And we've had to go and deal with them now multiple times in the last few years. It's like they're really targeting us. Okay, so we went to pay our payroll tax in 2021, the height of COVID. And my accountant called and said, we have tried for 2 days to pay your organization's payroll tax, and the IRS system is down. In fact, he called me the night that late afternoon and said, we tried making it today. The system's down. I'm going to try again tomorrow. Called me back, said their system's still down. So what I want you to do is I want you to overnight the check to the IRS. So I went and wrote a check and overnighted it to the IRS. A few months later, we get a letter from the IRS saying, you owe us $43,000. Why? Because we paid our organization's payroll tax with a check instead of doing it online. Now, I want to make sure your audience understands. It was not a penalty for late taxes. The IRS has told us that. It's not a penalty for late taxes. It was a penalty because you wrote a check and overnighted it versus paying it online. So our accountant sent a letter to them and appealed it, said, look, your system was down for 2 days, so we overnighted it. They sent back a letter after a few months and said, we abate it. We're abating it. Done. We're like, wow, that's common sense. I'm not sure that really happens often with the IRS, but okay. Took the letter and he put it in our file. And 2 years later, about, the IRS sends us a letter and says, they're wanting like $47,000. We're like, what is this for? We couldn't even figure out what it was for. Because remember, we got a letter abating this penalty for paying the tax by a check versus paying online. So they reached out to him and they said, it's because you paid your taxes with a check versus online back in 2021. No, that was abated.
Right.
And they said, no, we've changed our mind. So they went back and forth. They got assigned to a lady and she reviewed the file and sent us a letter for the second time, abating it for the second time. So now we have two letters abating it. This woman apparently retired, closed the file, retired, said, we have the letter. You owe no taxes. You're full, everything. You're good for 2021. This is happening now in late 2024. In 2025, we get another letter saying we now want $49,000. We're like, we've gotten two letters from you guys abating this. We don't care. We've changed our mind. We want our money. We appealed it, and they gave me a lady who called me, actually. And turns out she's from an IRS appeals agent that helps people. And she's from Milwaukee. And and my radio network is based in Milwaukee that I've worked with for 30 years. And I said, well, that's interesting. My radio network's in Milwaukee, downtown Milwaukee. And I gave the address. And she says, you know, I was down there the other day picking up my child. And I went by that network. And I thought, I wonder what that is. I wonder who they are, what they do. I said, well, I'll tell you who they are. They're a Christian radio network. I'm on 74 stations with them every day. I've been working with them for 30 years. And I'm on TV 30 in Milwaukee. She laughed. She said, we have a TV 30? I said, yeah, I'm on TV 30 every night at 10 o'clock. Turn me on and you'll see me doing the 10 o'clock nightly news.
Right.
And we had a great conversation back and forth. And she was going through my file and looking up stuff. And she's like, you pay your taxes on time. She said, you realize that this is a penalty, not for late taxes, but because you wrote a check. I said, yes. She said, you know why? I said, no. She said, well, there's an IRS code. She cited it. That if you pay a certain amount in payroll tax, you have to pay it online. And if you don't, you're going to be penalized. Well, I didn't know that. Apparently my accountant didn't know that. But she said, you're telling me our system was down for 2 days. Said, yes, ma'am. She said, would your accountant swear an oath in writing under penalty of perjury that the system was down for 2 days? I said, yes, I'm sure he will. I got that. She said, get that to me. I want to put this in your file and keep helping you appeal this. You should not have to pay this, particularly we've abated it twice.
Right.
This is ridiculous. So I got that from him, gave it to the IRS appeal lady. And she said, I'm going to send this up the flagpole and see if we can get this knocked down for good. She called me over the 4th of July. And she said, Mr. House, I'm sorry to tell you, my supervisor refuses to abate this for a third time. They want over $49,000. And she said, I tried to tell them and show them your file, but I had no luck. Now I talked to this lady at least twice, not to mention emailing with her. Very reasonable, very professional. We talked about each other and our dogs and different things that were going on while we were on the phone. She could tell I was talking to my dog. She asked for the dog I had. She was very professional. And she was, I would say, all American, living in Midwestern Milwaukee, right? And I'm shocked I'm saying this about an IRS employee, but she was, you know, the truth is she was professional, courteous, detailed. And she said, this is ridiculous. And she made the case. This has been abated twice. You did your best to overnight the check because the system was down. She said, but you're going to have to pay it to continue appealing it.
Right. Which is, it's almost like, I won't use any metaphors, but yeah, I understand. You've got to pay before you can appeal
anymore.
Yeah, correct. Yes.
Well, but the kicker is, I said, all right, fine. Let's do it. Let's pay it right now because I want to make sure I get it right. Where do I go? She was very helpful.
Okay.
She knows what website to go to, and I bring it up, and she says, you know, let's follow these prompts. And Doug, the system by the IRS for paying is so archaic and out of date and sloppy that with the help of this IRS agent, we were guessing. And now I had my EIN number.
Right.
Everything you need. But we had to guess at my corporate name. We had to guess because.
How's that even possible?
Exactly. Because what's on my tax return is not what they had in their computer system. So we had to play guess a game.
Okay.
And I guessed, she guessed, I guessed, she guessed. I'm thinking, I'm not even going to get to make this payment. They're going to keep racking up interest. And she finally says, okay, try this with IN for ink at the end. IN. And just leave it. Don't put a C. Don't put a dot, period. No, IN. It's IN. And it worked. I said, how did you know that? She laughed. She said, I was just guessing. Now, this lady was so professional and kind and stayed on the phone with me. She advocated for me. She helped me get the payment made. So I want to commend her, right?
Okay.
Truth is the truth. But I even said to her, well, I shouldn't say what I said, what she said back, because I want to protect her. But this woman knows this was stupid. And obviously somebody in the IRS twice knew it was and abated it twice. So I hung up with her after making the payment. And I thanked her for her help and that she went to bat for me. And I called the chief of staff of a congressman I know. And I could call the congressman. I have his cell phone number, but I went to his chief of staff because I don't want to bother the guy.
Right.
And I said, I want to conference in my CPA. You got to hear. Now it's a her. I had a male CPA, but now at the same firm, I got a gal that's female now. I got, she, no, That sounds like he changed genders. No, he was male, but I went to a new CPA inside the firm that's now female, and who deals directly with the IRS a lot. She's a big hitter. And so I kind of moved up the ladder, in my opinion, because she's really sharp. I mean, she's like out of typecasting.
All right.
Looking for a woman to play a smack your knuckles with a ruler CPA, this would be her. She's like, I will fire you if you don't do what I tell you when I tell you and get it to me in a timely manner. I will fire you. You know,
right.
She is. She's got no time for games.
Right.
That's what we want, right? So she's really like dot every I, cross every T to a point. You're like, oh, yay, yay, yay. But I get her on the phone with the chief of staff, and I'm telling him what's gone down. And she's validating it. And he's like, oh, my word. Now, this is the chief of staff for a guy that's on a financial oversight committee that oversees the IRS. Okay.
All right.
And she then begins to tell him other stories. Like, she said, I got a client that has a business that has vans, and they go and they clean up water damage and stuff. And he runs down a lot to Georgia to do work to clean up from water damage. And the IRS has no problem with him deducting his vans and equipment and hotel stays. But for some weird reason, when he goes and does the same thing with clients in St. Louis, they tell him he cannot deduct his travel, his vans, his equipment, and his hotels.
Okay.
And she says, we asked the IRS lady, where are you getting this in the code? Where is this in the IRS code? And of course, most of these CPAs know the IRS code better than the IRS agents. It's not. They're making it up. She detailed many cases she's working with her clients like me where the IRS is just making it up out of whole cloth. And they can do it, and they can take your money, or they can keep the clock running until you willingly pay it because you don't want it to go up anymore. And they are not following the law. And this is happening under the Trump administration. And so I pray, and I've offered to testify before Congress. I got a text today from that chief of staff who says, we have turned this over to the Finance Oversight Committee to see if they're going to hold some hearings on the IRS and if they would be willing to bring you in to testify. My CPA wants to testify if her firm will let her. Because let me tell you, Doug, we are never going to make America great again until we live as a free society. We just celebrated the 4th of July, but I'm sorry. We're not a free nation.
No.
Am I interested in patriotism? Absolutely. But to think, and we were going to do a 250th anniversary of America presentation with full orchestra and choirs and all kinds of stuff next year, put it together.
Right.
I'm not doing it. I'm not going to go along with this idea like we're and celebrate liberty and freedom. We don't have liberty and freedom. We have a little bit. But our founding fathers, if they came back and saw what we were under, would say, you morons are celebrating like you have liberty and freedom. Are you so dumb you don't realize you're slaves? But we all run around thinking we have liberty and freedom. No, you do not. You have a rogue agency in the IRS that literally is making it up out of whole cloth and seizing people's property and bank accounts. And this is going on all over the country. And now that we've gone public, we're getting more calls, more letters. Did you know that in the Mid-South, we have a IRS whistleblower that said that during the height of COVID in 2021, the IRS in the Mid-South was shredding tractor trailer loads of IRS tax returns and tax checks. My CPA had clients that had to write the IRS another check because the IRS shredded their return and their check.
No, I can believe that. Yeah.
These people are so dumb. Most of them. We had one agent call us and said, you guys didn't file a tax return for 1 year. This was last year. They called us. We're like, yeah, we did. And we sent it certified mail. And did it online. They called back and said, oh, wait a minute. We actually have it in our system twice. I'm like, wait a minute. You went from saying you had no tax return to now saying you have it in there twice. That's right. But here's the problem. Can you have your accountant send it to us? Because we can't access it. I said, wait a minute. You're the IRS. Yeah, but it's not uncommon that we can't access the taxpayer's return and have to have their accountant send it to us. I'm like, are you kidding me? We had another agent who wanted to argue with us about something, and we finally showed her what the real truth was, and that case got closed. This was also last year. And we were talking to these people regularly now. And We sent over a letter by fax. My accountant did. She calls this IRS agent, calls me, totally different one, in the Mid-South here. And I conference in my CPA's right-hand gal and said, this agent is saying she didn't get this fax from you. And the agent starts reading from this letter. And the CPA assistant says, you're reading from the letter we sent you. How can you say you don't have the letter? You're reading from it. It's multiple pages. You're reading from one of the pages. Here's what the IRS agent said. Quote, we ain't got no letter. We ain't got no letter. I mean, it was clearly a DEI hire, right?
Yeah.
Mid-South, Memphis, Tennessee, we ain't got no letter. And the assistant said, sweetheart, you are reading from the letter. Maybe you don't have all the pages, but you're proving you got the letter. You're reading from it. We had to turn around and refax the letter she was reading from. Now, that one got closed out in our favor because, again, most of these agents don't know the law. But those are the ones that will finally back down. Then you get the ones who just refuse to follow the IRS code. And they don't care that they're not following code. They have the power to make it up. And this, if Donald Trump wants to make America great again, he needs to stop messing around the Middle East and going for the Nobel Peace Prize and all this other garbage. And he needs to concentrate on domestic issues, or we are toast. That's my message.
Okay. This morning I was talking to a mutual friend of ours, actually two mutual friends, but interestingly enough, last week I received an email from a Christian organization who they're getting harassed by the IRS. The situation is not exactly like yours, but it's close. Okay. So, there's something happening, and this is why I asked. I'm so thankful Brandon is on, is because it's really not about Brandon.
It is, but
it's not. It's bigger than that. There's a cancer within the system, within the Trump administration, even. And you're exactly right. Okay, we're not going to make America great again if our focus is not on making America great again. And we're seeing that in so many different aspects. But man, that's a horror story. So you had to pay, right? You had to pay something that you didn't know.
I had to pay something we didn't know. And I want to stress again, that was not a penalty for late taxes. The IRS agent, the good one out of Milwaukee, she said, I want to reiterate. She said, you realize this is because you paid with a check versus online. She just want to make sure I got that. I'm like, no, I get it. And we both agreed how dumb that was because their system was down. So we were seeking to be good taxpayers and wanted to quickly get our check overnighted to the IRS.
Did they cash the check?
They cashed it, and she told me the date they received it.
Okay.
This gal could see through the whole file. She said, we actually received your check on this date, which was like a day or so after I overnighted it, got in their system.
Right.
So we know we got your check. We cashed it. You were very prompt trying to get it to us. But because the system was down for 2 days and we didn't want to accrue penalties and interest and all that, we thought, well, overnight it.
Yeah.
But no. Apparently, I said, well, what if your system was down for a week and we waited a week? What would the fines and penalties be? He said, Mr. House, that's a really good question. I'm going to ask my supervisor.
Jeez.
What would his? She said, that would be a very good question to have answered. I wonder what you guys would penalize the guy if he had said, okay, I'll just wait a week till your system comes back up. How much would it fine him then? So you're going to fine him whether he waits till your system comes back up. You're going to fine him because he overnights a check. Either way, you're going to find this guy. You're going to take money from him because we can't keep our system up during COVID. When most of the IRS agents were at home in their pajamas watching The Price is Right. And tractor trailer loads of tax returns were piling up. And apparently they didn't want to do the work, so they just shredded them all.
Yeah.
So there's rules for thee and rules for me. And that's what the IRS has become. Most of us don't want to pay these. We think it's not even constitutional, but we do. We pay what we owe. Maybe more than we owe.
But
at least take it based on a system that is fair, that is in writing, that we can all agree to. Don't make it up. And don't abate someone's penalty for paying for with a check twice, and then two years later say, oh, we've changed our mind. Now we want not $43,000. We now want over $49,000. That money, by the way, was also being saved to pay future payroll taxes. So they just took and stole not only future tax they were going to get, which we now got to make up, but we wanted to do a few free Christian worldview rallies this fall. We'd already plotted out Des Moines, Iowa, and Northern Illinois. Well, those have been canceled. We don't have the discretionary budget now to do those two free Christian worldview rallies. We have a young man that's worked in our control room for about 4 years. He got his degree while he's working for us, went and used his degree, got a job. We were going to replace him with someone else. His slot will not be filled because we got to take what we were paying him and try to build back up our bank account for future taxes, or next time the IRS comes around knocking on the door wanting to steal money that's not theirs, so we can pay them off like you pay off the mafia, not to break your kneecaps.
So this is my speculation. Again, a compilation of various things I've heard. This is not incompetence. This is a case where the process is the punishment plus the punishment in your case. But this is intentional. This is malicious, and it's targeting the Christian conservative vocal people out there.
My friend that is the chief of staff for a congressman that is on the Oversight Committee for Finances asked my CPA last week on the phone, when did this start becoming an increased problem? Answer, in the last 12 months. Oh, you mean since they hired the 87,000 new IRS agents? So apparently, he said, apparently they're trying to justify all the agents by getting in all the revenue they can, wherever they can. But they're also targeting, as those agents were hired to do, Christians and conservatives. My CPA, she's been a CPA, I think she's had for 25 years. She's never seen this. The IRS lady that was on the appeal helping us, advocating for us, said, I've never seen this. I've never seen us send someone an abatement letter and then say, we're not going to honor the abatement letter we sent 2 years ago to you. We're reversing our opinion. I've never seen that, she said. My CPA said to me in writing, your case, and she laid out the bullet points, your case, there's something here. Your case is unique, and it has to do with who you are.
Yeah. And yeah, I have no doubt in my mind, you know, I'm not going to name names. I'll just leave it there. But we've got to do something. And I don't favor retooling the IRS. I favor abolishing the IRS.
Yeah.
The whole concept of income tax, the Federal Reserve, all of this crap that really does not comport with the Constitution has to. It would be nice if we could get everyone to stop paying taxes. Here comes my audit now, obviously. Think about what happened in Poland, you know, where everyone stopped working. But we've got to do it together or it's not going to work, you know. So what are your plans? I'm hopefully you can get before a subcommittee, or you certainly your congressman could bring this up. But the rest of us are in this position as well, to different varying degrees, right? I mean, so.
Well, that's what, you know, I had an attorney friend of mine. He's an economist and an attorney. He said, you know, you might want to just pay it and be quiet and not become a bigger target.
Yeah.
I said, well, you're probably right, but two things. Number one, that's not my nature. Okay. Number two, my audience expects me to do these kind of things because I can speak for them. And many of them are in this same situation. They just don't have a show like you and I do.
Right.
My wife also expects me to not bow down to tyranny. She said to me the other night, well, I hope you're not just going to sit on the sideline and take it. And I asked my wife, as I said on my show today, I've said to her a few times, why did you marry me? What, you know, cause my wife's beautiful, blonde, beautiful gal, laid back, easygoing. I mean, a real prize. I mean, she's a 10 out of a 10 out of 10. Anybody that's seen her and watched her on my show knows that. And a lot of people watched her travel with me since 1993 and raised our kids on the road and everything. And she said a couple of things. Number one, I knew you'd provide well, you'd work, you'd do whatever you had to do to provide. That's number one. Number two, she said, I knew you were a leader. You're a leader.
Yeah. Okay.
And I wanted to be married to somebody that I couldn't push around. Not that I haven't tried to push you around at times, but she said, I always appreciate the fact that when it came down to what was right, you wouldn't let me have my way. And I think there are a lot of women like that, right? I really do. I think there are a lot of men that maybe push sometimes, but they really want their husband to lead. The husband doesn't lead.
Yeah, I think that there is a loss of respect for beta males. Yeah. Okay. If you are a husband and you are a cuck of a husband, and I use that in the Shakespearean form, obviously, but then the respect, your wife is not going to, your family is not going to respect you.
Absolutely not.
You know, so, okay.
She said to me, she said, I hope you're not going to sit on the sideline on this one. In other words, what she was saying is, I hope you are the guy I married and you're going to scream about it. Because you're not the only one in this situation and it's wrong. And I'm like, right. You're right. It happened to me, but it's not just happening to me. It's happening to thousands, tens of thousands of conservative, entrepreneurial business people, Christians across this country. The IRS has been weaponized. We all know that. They've held hearings on it. And under the Trump administration, it's still being weaponized.
What do you suggest at this point? Because again, I do think a lot of conservatives who have not felt this, especially Christian conservatives, and I'm not talking about the sellouts, the people on the payroll, social influencers who are going along with the party line. What do you suggest we do? Because we've got to do something. We have to fight back.
Well, if President Trump wants to give us the external revenue service where it's all paid for by tariffs, I'm for that, obviously.
Yeah.
Right? Versus an internal. But if they're not going to do that, then we better at least get rid of this progressive income tax system. And we need to go to a national sales tax or consumption tax. Now, the law needs to be written where you can't have both. You can't have your progressive income tax and your federal sales tax, which would be like Europe, your federal tax, and then your VAT, value added tax. You can only have one. But at least if you, and this is only if you could not have the external revenue service with tariffs, but at least with a national sales tax, everybody would be paying. I looked up today, I asked Grok, how many strip clubs are there in America? There are over 4,000 strip clubs in America. And the revenue, over $4 billion a year from the strip club industry. Now, why did I do that? Because what are they using, Doug? Cash.
Absolutely.
Cash. Okay. I have friends in the real estate business in the Mid-South. Mm-hmm. And sometimes they end up renting to a gal who they are told she says she does X for a job. Oh, a respectable young lady. I'll rent to you. She's got good credit, whatever you rent. Only to find out later when she does start paying her rent or she only wants to pay it in cash or then she decides not pay it at all. She's really just a stripper.
Right.
And she's got plenty of money. She's just choosing not to pay the rent. Right.
You're
not paying taxes, okay? And none of them are. And you think the club owners are? Don't you think a lot of those club owners are taking their entry fee into the club or the alcohol if they serve it, depending on their state laws or county laws for strip clubs and alcohol? Don't you think they're paying a lot of that with cash?
Absolutely.
You think most of these married men are going to the clubs and swiping this on their credit card where the wife can see it? So you're talking about an industry of over $4 billion annually. Why isn't Congress going after that? Oh, I don't know. Maybe the same way Congress and other people aren't going after Jeffrey Epstein today, right? That's a non-issue. Why is it that the people in Washington have such proclivities toward this kind of work and lifestyle? Hmm? So if you really are interested in tax dollars, go to a national consumption tax, sales tax. Then you're going to get the strippers, drug dealers, the gangbangers, the drug dealers. You're going to get them all. You're also going to...
Aside from the Congress people and the politicians in Washington you just mentioned, who... Well, no, never mind. I was trying to make a joke. But yes, yes, that would be a better, more fair way to do it. But again, I am all in favor of a tariff pre-1913 system.
Yeah, I am too.
Yeah.
That's our first choice in an external, all by tariffs, like Trump's trying to do.
Right.
But if we don't get that, we've got to do something. You know, this whole idea, by the way, where we're going to give amnesty to the illegal aliens that are working in the fields and that are working at hotels. Really? Why? We're going to give no tax on tips. Why? Why? Are they better off than the truck driver? Are they better and more deserving than the house cleaner, than the landscaper, than the garbage man? No tax on Social Security. Are they more deserving than all the other groups I just mentioned? I'm sick and tired of the eeny, meeny, miny, moe. We need a system that is for all people, not for your special interest group because you run around with people that own hotels and restaurants, or big agriculture is funding the campaigns for different people. We need a system that is equal for all Americans. That's not what we're getting.
No, I totally agree with that. There's a lot wrong with the no tax on tips over time. Although it sounds good when you first hear it, when you start looking at the larger picture, you can see where the problems exist, where this is really not going to help anything, especially when for example, it's capped. I think some of these are capped, right? So, and no tax on tips, but the
It sounded good for a campaign issue, but at the end of the day, because it is capped, it doesn't end up being that much money from what I'm reading.
And you know,
we're promoting Make America Great Again with things that sound good.
Oh yeah.
At the end of the day, they're not fixes to the problem.
No.
They make for great headlines,
yep,
conservative fodder, but they're not solving the problem. And I want Donald Trump, President Trump, to be successful. I really do. I want America to be successful. But if this trajectory that we've seen in the last 5 months continues, we are not going to make America great again. And in fact, this big, beautiful bill.
Yes.
This bill, I believe, from my senior producer of my nightly Worldview Report newscast, Leo Holman, who's got a great article.
Oh, Leo. Yeah, I know Leo.
Got a great article over at leoholman.substack.com. He says this big, beautiful bill is financing big time digital biometric tracking on Americans. Okay.
Yep.
I'm afraid I don't want this to be true, but I'm afraid we're going to look back in 4 years and Donald Trump will be like the George W. Bush of his era, where George W. Bush gave us the Patriot Act and the FISA courts and all that to eavesdrop on us, to track us, record us, everything. We're going to look back on George W. the way we do. We're going to look back on, I'm sorry to say, probably President Trump if this trajectory continues. Because we cannot be propping up Peter Thiel, Palantir, creating a digital file in every American, and setting up the social credit score that's equal to China. We can't be doing that.
100%. I've heard excuses about why he's doing that with Palantir. And I got to tell you, they're just excuses. None of this is good. The big, beautiful bill thing. By the way, have you been able to really find a viable copy of the entirety of the bill in one place? I mean,
I have not. Have you?
No. And look, I feel like I'm pretty somewhat intelligent guy, but I know where to look, but I haven't seen it. I have not seen what was signed. I have not seen the signed bill. I have not seen it, the text of it. So I don't know.
Well, I want President Trump to be successful. I really do.
I do too.
I just am afraid that he's surrounded by too many deep staters, globalists, the people that are about preserving the system as it is.
Yeah.
And I think when all is said and done, we'll look back and say, hey, we got some good things here. But when the scale is leveled, when the scale is weighed, we will be left wanting. And Make America Great Again will have been a great slogan. But America will be more of a third world country than when he came into office. And it'll be more third world in a technocrat China social credit score way.
Yeah, to me right now, that is unavoidable. I think we're running headlong into that system, Brandon, and I don't know how to stop it. Your opinion on President Trump, so you believe that his internal closest staff, if you will, is selling him a bill of goods. He's falling for it and not really fully comprehending the truth. Is that what I'm hearing you?
Yeah, I think there are many things that maybe he doesn't fully understand or has been not given the right information on. I mean, wasn't it on the tarmac? He had to be told by the press.
Yes.
About drones going after Vladimir Putin's helicopter?
It was in the dark
over that.
It was something like that. And so you've got multiple heads of agencies that would be informing him of things like that immediately, yet nothing.
We also have people that have, according to numerous reports, spent years in prison, Islamist guys. For working with these groups, they shouldn't be working with them, went to jail. And now they're on White House advisory committees.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Who did that? How'd that happen? We're worried about Iran, rightfully so, but they're over there. We're worried about them, but how about the Iranian terror cells that we were banging the desk on for the last how many years, Doug? How many times you've interviewed me about my documentaries, 2018, 2019, terror cells, Iran, Hezbollah, Hamas, right? Fox News, nobody wanted to hardly talk about it. Now, all of a sudden, like they turned a switch. 2 weeks ago, they all started talking about it. Sounds like predictive prophecy or predictive programming to me. I think they're expecting something. They'll allow it to happen.
Yeah.
And when they do allow it to happen, whoever the they is, you guess on your own, they're going to use that for more biometrics, just like they used the Patriot Act after 9/11. Systems being put into place. And as James McGregor Burns, a globalist, said in his book in 1984, The Power to Lead, I'm going to paraphrase it, but almost a direct quote. The founding fathers have been too smart for us, too shrewd for us. Frail tinkering and bridges will not get the job done. We can only get the American people to go where we want them to go, except under a stupendous national crisis.
Exactly. So what do you think is going to happen? You know, that obviously.
You got Sarah Adams, she's former CIA, warning about suicide bombers with suicide vests. There's experts warning that some of our airport security can't pick up some of these things. You've got them warning about Al-Qaeda what Al-Qaeda is openly talking about. And yet we're worried about Iran over there, but what about Iran here? What about the terror cells here? What about this epic compound in Texas run by Yasser Qadi? Now, remember me coming on your show in 2017 to talk about Yasser Qadi?
I do remember that.
Imam who is running a mosque right down the road from my studio and was bringing in Siraj Wahaj to speak, an unindicted co-conspirator in the bombing of the World Trade Center, according to multiple sources.
Yeah, that's true. And
now he's gone down to Texas, Doug.
Yep.
Building a 402-acre compound. They're building mosques all over Texas. Texas is gone. Goodbye. You can kiss Texas goodbye. If they can do it in Texas, they can do it anywhere. And now they're targeting my state of Tennessee. Texas is gone. People are fleeing Texas. You're not hearing this. They're fleeing Texas to come to Tennessee and Oklahoma. But then the Marx, the Islamist, and the Marxists working together will target Tennessee. They'll target Oklahoma. And they're building mosques like crazy. They're buying up defunct churches, turning them into mosques. We sent and paid his honorarium and his time for Dave Gobetz, former federal agent Dave Gobetz, to go undercover down there in Texas. He has gone undercover in over 425 mosques in America. He knows the threat to our country. We are so obsessed with Iran over there to the exclusion of Iran right here. That's my point. Should we be concerned about Iran? Yeah. But Israel, they can buy airplanes from us. And they do. And they rip out our avionics and put in their own. They can buy weapons from us. I have an Israeli flag in my studio. I am a Christian Zionist. I believe in Genesis chapter 12, verse 3. I'll bless those who bless you. I'll curse those who curse you. But that does not mean I have to agree with everything the Israeli government ever does. That's not what the verse is saying. And it does not mean that Americans should be giving millions and millions of dollars in foreign aid for free to the rich nation of Israel, much less any nation. When we have the same threat facing Israel, we have the same threat inside our borders already. And what are we doing? We're allowing these people to get on advisory boards inside the White House. Now, look, if this kind of thing was happening under Biden, people would be screaming and hollering. But the fanny kissers on social media, and you guys all know who they are. The fanny kissers on social media won't speak what I will speak because they want access. They want favor. I'm more interested in the preservation of my country than I am political favors or invitations to a White House Christmas gala or whatever.
Right.
We're losing the republic because the country is largely following a bunch of immature social media people. I have no idea how they got their following because 5 years ago, 10 years ago, we did not know who they were. They have not written 15 or 16 books. They've not been around for 35 years like you and I have. They've not hosted thousands of shows. I want to know who propped them up, gave them all these followers. But I'm telling you, there's a massive propaganda machine running to get you to buy what they want you to believe so you're not distracted by the real issues facing this country. And I'm afraid they've got President Trump distracted.
Well, I've alerted our viewers and listeners, Brandon. They're right now. You had mentioned the Epstein files, right? The Epstein book, and well, the entire Epstein situation. Now, I suspect you're going to get some flack because you characterize yourself as a Christian Zionist. Okay, I know what you mean by that, but others will take it totally separate.
Oh, I know.
Yeah, but aside from that.
But by the way, how many Christian Zionists have you ever heard say, we don't need to fund Israel. They're a rich nation. Not many Christian Zionists will say what I say. But you know why? Because my definition of Christian Zionism is this. I stand for the historical right of the Jewish people for the land, the historical and biblical right to their land. Okay. And blessing Jewish people does not mean, it doesn't say I have to bless everything the Israeli government ever does. It's about Correct. People. And the Jewish people, by the way, are all over the world, not just in the Holy Land. You will not find, I'm one of the most balanced, common sense, biblically anchored Christian Zionists you'll find. Most of them don't know the Bible. I mean, poor Ted Cruz didn't even know the verse was in Genesis chapter 12. Yeah. That, okay? Most of these guys cannot. I'm teaching through the book of Revelation on Sunday night, right? Uh-huh. I know this. I like studying the Bible. I just got two brand new commentaries in the mail today on the book of Daniel. And I'm starting to study the book of Daniel because I'm on Revelation chapter 17 right now, and I'm going to be done with it pretty quick. And I'm going to move to the book of Daniel. So okay. I study this. I know it. And you're not going to find a Christian Zionist who's as balanced as I am. Most of these guys go off the reservation, and they make it about the Israeli government. It's not. Christian Zionism right. is about the Jewish people. And nowhere in there does that mean blessing them. I have to send my kids to die in the Middle East or give my kids inheritance to Israel. They're a rich nation. They're far more rich than people realize. And let me also say something about the Jewish people. Many of them are in unbelief today. They don't know Yeshua as their Messiah and Savior. Some of my Jewish friends do. Thus, they're called Messianic Jews, right? Yep. But many Jews today are not believers. They are in disbelief. But guess what's going to happen? God is going to use a 7-year tribulation to get their attention. And only a small percentage of them, but a percentage of them, will come to him as their savior. But many, many Jews will turn against the Christians, the people who become Christians during the tribulation saints, and they will turn against their Jewish brethren who become believers during the tribulation. And okay. Jesus twice in the first couple chapters of the book of Revelation refers to those Jews as synagogue of Satan. Now, that verse is used to put that label on all Jews. That is wrong because that's not what the verses are saying. That'd be like saying all pastors are hirelings because John 10 says there are some pastors that are hirelings, that when a false teacher comes or a wolf comes, they flee. So are we now to say every pastor in America is a hireling? No, it's not what it's saying. Only those who meet the criteria. Is every Jew a synagogue of Satan Jew? No, only those who meet the criteria. And the criteria was what? Persecuting believers, including Jewish believers who would believe in Messiah, mocking the gospel and blaspheming God. So we need to be very careful when we use that phrase. But guess what's going to happen? Many of those 144,000 will become Jewish believers, become great evangelists. And a lot of the Jews and Gentiles in that period are going to go through something is so horrific that they're going to be hunted down. And no one is going to be able to buy or sell unless you have the mark, which I think is the system they're building right now.
Oh, yeah. I have no doubt in my mind.
But Jesus himself, in the book of Matthew, says when he comes to judge the nations, and he sets the sheep on one side and the goats on the other, he's separating the sheep from the goats, and he says to those sheep, blessings on you, those of you who minister to these, my brethren. Who are the brethren of Jesus? The Jews. He says, you visited me when I was in prison. You gave me water. You fed me. Mm-hmm. You did all these things. And they'll say, but when did we see you without clothes and give you clothes or feed you or visit you in prison? If you did this unto the least of these, my brethren, you did to me. Who are his brethren? The Jews. What's it saying? He's commending the sheep, particularly also their Gentiles, During the tribulation period, they were ministering to the Jews who come to believe in Yeshua Messiah, who were being persecuted and turned on, some of them by their own family and friends who were Jewish, who did not receive Messiah, right? So what we have to understand is, when it comes to the Jewish people, not the Jewish state, they have the right to the state, but I'm not talking about the government of Israel. I'm talking about the people, the Jewish nation. Many of those Jews who are not believers yet will become believers if we're in that time period right now. But many of them will turn against Christians. So when I say I want to bless the Jews, that's what it means right now. Doesn't mean I have to give them money. It means I share the gospel with them. It means those that have come to Messiah that are now Messianic Jews, I fellowship with them. I encourage them. Some of them have lost their family because they've come to Yeshua or Messiah. It means that when they're persecuted with the rise of anti-Semitism, I stand up. Even with my friends who are not Messianic Jews, I stand up and I say, no, to attack them because of their people group is wrong.
You know, that's just the moral thing to do for really for any group. But yes,
but
yes.
Sadly, many Zionists today think that to bless the Jews doesn't mean any of that. They don't even know enough about the Bible to know about the 144,000 Jewish evangelists. They don't know enough to know about Jesus commending those who ministered to these, my brethren. They don't know any of this. They know just enough about the Bible to be dangerous. And their Christian Zionism means, I just got to do whatever Israel wants. No, no, that's not what being a biblical Zionist, Christian Zionist means. We support the Jewish state, their historical right to the land. And if we want to sell them weaponry, give them loans, fine. But this idea we just give money away, we just give it to them. No, we have the same enemy they have. We don't expect the IDF and the Israelis to send their children to America to fight in our country or on our borders. Why should we do that? We can send them aid. We can give them loans. We can share technology. We can share intelligence. That's what we do as allies. But we've got to make sure that our biblical definition of Christian Zionism is in the Bible. And most of these people that call themselves Christian Zionists don't know enough about the Bible to even call themselves Christian Zionists, but they do. And as a result, you're not helping the Jewish people either. Because if you wanted to help the Jewish people, you would actually understand the anti-Semitism, why it's rising, because it's a spiritual battle. You know why anti-Semitism is rising? Because Satan knows he's only down to a last few cards. He tried to destroy the bloodline in Genesis 6 so the Messiah could not come. So I don't know how it happened, but somehow demons possessed men, according to Genesis 6, and had sexual relations with women and created an offspring known as Nephilim, these great giants. If you read Genesis 6, you'll see that God was sorry he had made man and sent the flood to destroy it, say 8 people that got off the ark, Noah and his family. And the whole thing had to start over to purify, make sure the bloodline stayed good, because Satan was trying to corrupt the bloodline from which Messiah would come. Well, then that didn't work. Remember, Satan tries to get the young Christ child murdered, and an angel comes to Joseph and says, flee to Egypt. And he takes Mary and the child and flees for a while, right? They come back eventually. Every time we turn around, Satan is trying to either stop Christ from showing up through the bloodline or kill him after he's born, right? And then we see Satan try to cut a deal with him to not go to the cross. Give it all up and all of this will be yours, talking about this earth.
Right.
And then when Christ finally goes to the cross and he's resurrected, and he's triumphant, what does Satan do then? He now has to turn his attention toward stopping Messiah from coming again. And what will it take for the second coming of Christ? It will take the Jews saying, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. That's what the scriptures say. The Jews will cry out, believing Jews, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Well, guess what? There's no Jews on the planet. That's not going to happen. The Bible's not fulfilled. You know what else? Says that those Jewish evangelists, so many are getting saved, the scriptures say you can hardly number them. But if there's every Jew is wiped out, there's no Jewish evangelist. That prophecy is not fulfilled. And then if there are no Jews left on the planet, they cannot roll into the millennial kingdom at the end of that 7 years of the second coming of Christ when he physically puts his foot on the earth, battles Satan and the Antichrist and the false prophet, defeats them and throws them in the pit. There are no Jews that survive that 7 years. There's no millennial kingdom for them to roll into to receive the Genesis 15 land covenant that was promised to them. God is now a covenant breaker, not a covenant keeper. He can't keep his word. The Jews didn't cry out, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. There are no Jews. The Jews don't become great evangelists. There's no Jews. The Jews don't roll in to receive the millennial kingdom. There's no Jews. And if that's the case, God loses, Satan wins. And the destruction of the Jewish people is a spiritual battle because for whatever reason, God chose it to be this way. And the average Christian Zionist in America and sitting in your pews in your Baptist churches in America have no idea what I just explained. So today we have a church that has become corrupted, that is going along with things that are not in the Bible, but calling it Zionism or Christianity. I just explained the Bible prophecy, Old Testament, New Testament. So I go back to what I started with. If Israel sees Iran as an existential threat, they need to take care of it. And we can support them, sell them weaponry, give them intelligence, make loans to them if they need it. But we need to be as vigilant about Israel's enemies as they're saying they want to be. Because their enemies may be 1,000 miles away by rocket. Ours are right here among us.
Invited in, no less.
Do you hear the administration talking about that?
No. Well,
why? Why? You know why, Dave? You know why, Doug? I think they want the peace accords. And so I think they're willing. I think they're willing to try to cut this thing very close to get this peace accords and go down in history. And we're willing to allow certain things to happen in America that are not in our best interest from a national security standpoint.
I think it could very well be the wrong side of history as well. And that goes, you know, it kind of circles back to what you were saying. Well, with regard to the IRS, look what is happening with the IRS against you and against others. Okay. The weaponization under Trump. So there's so much happening. How about the Epstein situation where today they come out and say, well, you know, there's really nothing to see here. Okay. There's no client list that exists. So Pam Blondie must have been a little bit mistaken when she said truckloads were delivered from New York and Brandon, I'm so sick and tired of being lied to. I really am.
I think we all are. We're not even 6 months in.
Yeah.
We're not even 6 months in yet to about the 20th of July.
Yeah.
And we're already seeing the globalist, the deep state, being very, very successful in the beginning splinters and destruction of the MAGA movement.
Yeah. And then you've
got... I didn't want to see that. And I know you didn't either.
No. The success of making America great again would make all of us better off. Yes. And that's not happening.
If you don't make America great again, you and I are off the air. Okay.
Right. The bottom line. Yeah.
Among many problems. I mean, maybe that'll be a blessing to some. But at the minimum, we'll be off the air. But if we're off the air, then there's not free speech. No. There's not freedom of religion. There's not freedom of choice. There's not liberty and freedom. We are going to be living in tyranny.
Yep. Yep. And folks, please pay attention to this. And if you want some great insight, Brandon House wrote a great book, Marxianity. I did pronounce that correctly.
Yeah, Marcia came out in 2018.
Which, in fact, you were on this show talking about that book when it first came out. I love that book in terms of the information that, it provides. It's relevant today. I mean, everything.
Let me tell you one way it is, by the way. Peter Thiel, with Palantir and everything.
Yep.
I think he's running around calling himself a libertarian. By the way, what's really interesting is Peter Thiel is on video talking about, well, the option is either Antichrist or Armageddon. I've played the video. Antichrist or Armageddon. Well, what if the choice isn't either the Antichrist or the Armageddon into the world? What if there's another way? And then he begins to lay out a new system. And really what we're doing here is a battle of systems. But this guy, Peter Thiel, talks a lot about the Bible and the Antichrist, but he doesn't really know the Bible, okay? But he calls himself a libertarian. And I warned in that book, in 2018, Marxianity, be on the lookout for people who say they're libertarians, saying they want limited government, small government. You know, many of the libertarians are like basically live and let live, whether it's same-sex marriage or whatever it is. Live and let live, whatever. As long as it's not hurting somebody else, that's kind of your libertarian philosophy. And there are very varying strains of libertarianism. But I said, be very leery of the people that call themselves libertarians, because many of them are not. What they are is communitarians. Big government, big business merging together. Communitarianism. Communism light.
Yes.
I think that's what Peter Thiel is. Big government, big business. His Palantir and all these other groups merging together as one. So that book I told you in 2018, be careful of people running around claiming to be libertarians who are not. And here we have Peter Thiel right up there in the Trump administration. He's not a libertarian. He's a big government, big business guy. And now he's going to get and got a bunch of government grants.
Yep.
And then you see the big parade for the 250th anniversary of the Army. Did you see the big sign that popped up at one point? Palantir, it looked like they were the sponsors in part, right?
Yes.
Now they're going to create am I right? They want to create a file on every American. This is all under Make America Great Again?
Well, they're underwriting, or they're being underwritten. But that's been going on for 25 years. The difference now is,
accordingly, Palantir supposedly, according to some publications, was involved in helping track down Osama bin Laden.
Correct. Yes. It depends on who you ask, too. But yes.
Ask yourself. That's right. It does depend on the articles you read. But ask yourself, how did they find bin Laden? And from the documentaries I've watched, they found out, I think through waterboarding a dude, what the nickname of a courier was. And then based on only the nickname of a courier, I got to try to find this guy in somewhere in the world with a nickname. And then they somehow figured out his phone number and then started modeling his voice. And then were apparently able to pick it out by monitoring phone calls in certain parts of the world till they nailed his voice. Now, if that's really how it happened, and that was quite a while ago,
right?
Imagine, Doug, the technology they have today. If they put us under that kind of system and they digitize everything and they do 16.9 of the Agenda 2030 code, which we're all registered and marked, no one's going to be able to do anything. And this conversation that we're having will have your bank account and my bank account, if not frozen and deleted. At least we'll get several deductions out of our account for bad behavior on the social credit score system.
Without a doubt. And
they won't even have to listen to this show.
No. And that's
even
coming.
The algorithms will pick up what we're saying.
Well, we can. Look, I appreciate your time, and I don't want to cause you to overstay because I know you're busy. But the bottom line here is there are ways, for example, the process against you with the IRS. I don't think that's a coincidence.
Oh, I don't either.
Okay. There are ways that we all are will be suffering under this surveillance, this oppressive surveillance apparatus. But it's not going to be passive. It's going to be very active in taking us down and shutting us up. But you mentioned it earlier. I've mentioned it before. There are certain golden boys and golden girls. You go along with what we're telling you. You know, you hold up that white binder, right? Because you're special. You've got access. And, you know, we'll make sure you stay on the air just as long as you follow the script. And that's what's happening today. I know you won't. I'm not going to do that. And I know a couple of others as well, to see where we're going to end up in 1, 2, 3 years. I don't know. But we have to fight and we have to stick together, my friend.
We absolutely do. And I always appreciate you, Doug.
God bless you, my friend. Brandon, again, thank you for coming on. Thank you for sharing this story with us. I'll be talking about this, and we'll be sending people to your website, as well as the article, the press release that you wrote. And if there's anything we can do on your behalf, you let us know.
Ditto. Same to you, Doug. Thank you, Doug.
All right. God bless you, my friend.
And thank you.
Folks, Brandon House, tremendous man. I'm going to tell you right now, that does not deserve to be persecuted in this fashion, and he is. So the link in the program description box will go right to his website. And Mark Zianity is a fantastic book. In fact, in retrospect, after I spoke with someone this morning, I picked up the book from my library. And I thumbed through it, and I'm thinking, man, you know, what a great insight into what's happening today. So, folks, if you haven't gotten it, if you haven't read it, definitely buy it. Mark Zianity. And also, any other products that he offers, fantastic, top-notch stuff. All right. Randy Taylor, it's been a long time, it seems. I'm glad to have you on, my friend, and come on board. How you doing, my friend?
Hey, I'm good. How are you doing tonight?
No, not too bad. Now, you heard, I know you were hanging with me. You heard some of the conversation. What was mentioned here, and I want to get your take on this, unless you want to go in a different direction. Have we been hosed by Pam Bondi, by Cash Patel, by Dan Bongino, by all of these people? Have we been hosed? Have we been sold a bill of goods?
Because I'm more concerned with an even bigger picture. I'm more concerned that, fuck, and this isn't going to be real popular.
I don't care what I'm going to say, right?
Brandon, I'll get a lot of emails on the Jewish things.
He can join. Stop.
You know where I stand on it. I'm cool with the guy.
And by the way, look, folks, I won't open any emails about that. All right, I just won't.
Don't even worry about it. Listen, here's a bigger picture.
Go ahead.
We may have been taken, folks. We may have been taken presidential level. I want you just to consider this. I've always been a Trump fan. You know that. Well, there's some things about this entire deal that do not sit right with me.
Now, I'm going to tell you something. Let me just say this to the ladies and gentlemen listening out there and watching. If that man, if Randy Taylor says, you know what, there's a problem here with this investigation, take it to the bank, because he's been there.
Something,
take it to the bank.
Something isn't sitting right. Okay. And I'm one of these guys that my gut's kept me alive. I'm serious. It's kept me out of trouble. It's saved my life. So when my gut talks to me, I have to listen.
Yeah.
And I talk with my wife a lot about this. She's very in tune. I have a very smart wife. And I'm going to go back and I'm bring it up again. Election night. By 10 o'clock. Trump is the president. Okay. That didn't sit right with me. And I've talked about that with Doug here before. The next thing the very next thing that bothered me. I'm going to take over Greenland. And he was nodding to known globalists on the Panama Canal. Okay? So here's what I see. Panama Canal, right on up to Greenland, that's one of the territories that they've been talking about with the New World Order since Alex Jones was talking about the New World Order in the beginning. That North American chunk of land.
Yes.
A territory. And I want you to stop and think about what I'm saying. All right. Globalists look at everything going on before the election, this last election. They look and they go, wow. If a Democrat gets in, these patriots just might grab their weapons and take care of business. And it scared them. And something's going on here. We may have been hoodwinked. And Mr. Trump might not be who we think Mr. Trump is. I know that's going to be real popular with some folks. But I want you to sound, and I want you to start looking at things. What that gentleman was just talking about, what's going on in this government. Donald Trump is very aware of what's going on in his government. Donald Trump also had Elon Musk trying to tell him what's going on in the government. I look at this big, beautiful bill bullshit.
Yep.
Okay. And what I see is Elon Musk busted his hump to get the budget in line. And then Trump, with a flash of a pen, spent more than Elon ever saved.
Yeah, and that is true. You're right.
Driving us further into the toilet. And I just, listen, something's wrong. Something is wrong. Either that or I'm just one stupid SOB.
Well, I'm not sure they're mutually exclusive, but no, I'm joking, of course.
Something's wrong.
Something is wrong. I totally agree with you.
Something's bothering me. It doesn't sit right. From the word go, from election night forward, all I've seen, and this hesitation on the Epstein list, okay? Just release the damn thing.
Hesitation, this doesn't exist.
Thank you, but we know it exists, but let the chips fall where they may. No, they're not going to do that.
Right.
Oh, no, national security. Really? National security. No, you've got a bunch of globalists on there. That's the problem. This, ladies and gentlemen, we may be in big trouble. And the reason, here's the thing, they knew that they could not take the U.S. while they're patriots. So who did they send? Somebody that the patriots would follow. And this is the part that scares me. That would follow off a cliff. You've got people out there right now that are going to be mad at me, and they would jump off a cliff for Donald Trump. I won't do it. Something is wrong, ladies and gentlemen. Something is not sitting right. Do the math yourself. You look at what's going on. Look at what's going on in all the departments. It's something is wrong. And all this, the judges said this and this and that. This is all window dressing. This is a dog and pony show. Something's wrong. I just have the feeling that we've fallen for something.
How bad? Okay, you've got...
Something just isn't right, Doug. It's not sitting right. Every time you turn around, something else comes up and you're like, this isn't what we voted for.
Now, you've got some high profile events, situations that, for example, Tom Homan, RFK Jr., they're making some good headway.
Yes, they are.
The Tom Homan, I'm sure if he was totally off the leash, he could handle things a lot quicker and a lot more efficient.
I certainly believe that.
Okay, so I think there's some restraint being used against Homan.
Could be. And you say, why? Well,
yeah,
I'm telling the Patriots that I'm getting everybody out of here. But at the same time, one reason you'd want to get the illegals, round them up and everything like that, is because if you're going to do a national identity type thing, these are going to be the hardest people to get under that control, because they're good at dodging now.
Yeah.
They're experts at it. They've got their own little networks, large networks, a little. They're big networks. So the immigration part, yeah, it looks good and everything like that, but what is it really serving? I'm still bugged by something, and this is one more. Why is it necessary for detainees? Why is it necessary to put them in a swamp in Florida? Why is that necessary? Why would we even have them that long?
Again, that's a great question that nobody seems to be.
Thank you.
It's on no one's radar.
I think someone else is going to end up in those camps. I'm concerned. I remember, and I was talking to somebody, asked me a question the other day about something. And I started talking. I sent him an email back, and I was talking about with the GSA and all. I used to have an HVAC company. I was a contractor, and I also had an internet company. And we sold a lot of stuff on the internet, HVAC-related stuff. And I sold ductwork. I sold this. Halliburton was a big customer of mine. And I used to do a lot of stuff with GSA. They put stuff out for bid, and I like GSA stuff because you didn't have to touch the product. I get a quote from here, ship to port in Jacksonville, boom, boom. I never even had to touch the product. All I did was transfer money. That was it. And, okay. and if you did it right. But I know there's FEMA camps. I know there are, because I supplied the air conditioning units for them. I know they're there, but I can't seem to get a list of the FEMA camps. Okay, Alex Jones exposed FEMA camps.
Yeah, he did.
Huge places, train tracks going in and out. It wasn't bullshit. It was on film. They were FEMA camps.
Yeah.
They were prisons. But for some reason, that's like top secret. What's going on? I'm looking at Canada, for instance. I think Canada has honestly been set up to be the 51st state. And I'm not BSing you. And I'm not saying that to upset Canadians. Okay. I'm just telling you, that's how you're going to become part of this territory.
Okay. That's okay. That's where I wanted to know where you're headed with
that's
that.
That's where I was headed with that, because the election was thrown in Canada. I don't care what anybody says.
To Carney.
That Carney was not elected. He was selected.
Okay.
Plain and simple. Anybody, listen, I'm not stupid. I go to the store. I buy stuff. I'm in Canada a lot. I interact with people there. The people at a car dealership, people in restaurants, your server, the manager, all over the place, the corner stores, you know, grocery stores. And everybody hated Trudeau and hated Carney. So you tell me how that man got in with that kind of vote. Trudeau. Not Carney. Carney was appointed.
Right.
But the point is, going into the election and all, the Liberals won. They should not mathematically have won.
Well, it was like the 2020 election here.
Oh, it was awful, Doug. And that's what I say. So I'm going with the last election in the U.S. I hate to say it. It's bullshit.
Explain.
I think the last election was rigged to put Trump in office and drag all of us MAGA people with him. Because like I just said, people will follow him blindly and walk off a cliff for him. I'm a smarter man than that. Doug's a smarter man than that. We're never taken that well. Did we support Donald Trump? Yes. Because I'll tell you right now, I would rather have the neighbor's dog in office than that jackass Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, and that crap. The only difference with the left is this screwing of America happens much faster.
Yeah, precisely. And how in the hell were we left with that choice.
Yeah, okay, if you think things, about that. All the people in the United States.
Right.
That's what, and how many times have we said that in the elections, like since, especially since George Bush, the young one, the younger one. Ever since then, we've sat here and we've looked, even back to Clinton. I remember sitting there looking and going, out of all the people, over 300 million people at that time.
Yeah.
This is the best week. This is the cream of the crop. This is the cream of the crap.
That's right.
And I'm sitting here and Mr. House just now, Brandon House, mm-hmm. he just spoke some real truths, some real truths. And what he's talking about with the weaponization of the IRS, there's a lot of things going on that are strange. A lot of stuff going on. I'm looking at government stuff and things like that because I'm going to be retiring soon. And you know, even with Social Security, there's some weird, there's just strange things going on. And I sat here and I've been trying to put this together in my head. The thing that really stuck out the most was when he gave a nod on the Panama Canal to globalists. Known globalists. Why would you do that?
And Michael Yon was saying the same thing. I have a lot of respect for him. Go ahead.
And Yon is right. Yon's tripping around down there where I was back in the early 80s.
Yeah.
That's where he's at down there. I know that area very, very well, south of Panama.
And not a lot has changed down there with respect to the NGOs.
Yeah, too well.
So
when Michael Young says something and he's talking about stuff and he does his videos and all, man, I know exactly what he's talking about.
Yep.
Been right there with him. Man. And there's just crazy area just south of Panama and just above Colombia right there. And the name escapes me right offhand. Been in there, I don't know how many times, and I can't think of it right offhand. But that's
a good point about the canal too.
Something with the canal, and that happened right immediately after the election. Immediately, then the thing about Greenland. You know, who comes into office and starts talking about using the military to take over Greenland? Yeah, you know what I mean. I just, some things are not sitting right, and we're seeing actions that to me are globalist actions. And I'm not comfortable with what I'm seeing. I don't believe in coincidence. I'm not, people go, what's a coincidence?
I don't either. No.
I just don't buy into coincidence. I had a police officer, a good buddy of mine, when I used to do counterterrorism work, guy that really got me into it. David Halpern. Good man.
I was going to say Dave, right?
Dave, yeah. Super, super guy, man. I mean, just, I loved him and his wife, good people. They're both gone now. I think she died of a broken heart, honestly. But he told me, he said, you remember something? He says, I've been a cop almost 30 years. He says, there is no such thing as coincidence. You know, Israel, that was a rule with him. Boom. That was it.
Did I meet him at your wedding?
You may have. I don't know. We had sort of people at the wedding.
I can't remember if, because
I don't think David made it. He.
Much respect for him, though.
I can't remember. I do know that we had the head of CSIS at our wedding.
Doug, you were
sitting at the table with the guy.
Yes. And, I mean, you could look out and see nothing but an intel agent. I mean, it was like, wow. Okay.
It was an interesting wedding. But, yeah, it was funny to look out there and you know, the intelligence people from different countries here.
Yeah. Interpol engagement there. My gosh. Yes.
It was cool.
But you do have, for example, patriots like Dave Halpern, and others, I'm sure would be looking at the situations today and saying, wait, this is not right. I mean, you know, you
Sometimes two and two still equals four.
Well, unless it's Common Core, but yeah.
And we're seeing now where it's three and five.
Yeah.
And it's really just some things are bothering me. And I was thinking why. Well, we've always said the U.S. is impossible to take over because we're armed. That's what's kept every major power from setting soldiers on our shores by force. Meaning now, yeah, of course, we have sleeper cells, things like that. Did you see, I sent you the picture. We talked about this a couple weeks ago.
You don't remember me sending you that picture by email.
A couple months ago. That one with our buddy on there that says and tells me that he died like in 2005.
Yeah. Now, some of the things Brandon said with respect to Osama bin Laden, okay, he does not know what we know, but he knows enough for conversation. And we haven't talked about that, but yes.
I'm a firm believer that that man right there in the middle,
there we go,
laying there dead, is Osama bin Laden. And that's just one photo of several of this funeral. And whoever it was very high profile because there was a lot of people there.
Yes.
And this is dated back in 2005. We're looking at the photo in the middle, folks. It's the photo in the middle. And I have Osama on either side there just to give you a reference and remember what he looked like. And you look at that guy.
That's 05, 2005.
April, I can't remember the date. But
Yeah.
Yeah, as soon as I found that, I remember I sent that to you, and I was like, yeah, what's going on here? What's going on here?
And this is something, RT, and ladies and gentlemen, this is something that I think, not just Osama bin Laden, of course, but with respect to going back, you can go back as far as you want, but let's go back to Oklahoma City, for example, in 95, April 19th, 1995.
This guy talking is the foremost expert on Oklahoma City, as far as I'm concerned, on that bombing.
Well, I'll tell you, you talk about some twists and turns in that investigation. Oh, that makes my head hurt even today.
Yeah, but I firmly believe that you solved most of that.
Well, I have to say this.
To my satisfaction, Doug.
I was in Boston, and I can't really say too much about my trip to Boston, except to say there was somebody else in that Ryder truck. There was a drawing made. I have his picture, and
hell, you've been to his house.
I was at his house.
Yep.
And I looked him in the eye, and I've got to say that for a while there I was scared afraid for my life, okay, because there were some things that happened right after that that I won't get into. But the reason I brought that up is from there to 9/11, where Mossad was involved in that, without any doubt in my mind.
And I'll share this. On 9/11, I used to know a DEA agent very good that worked in Texas. And he had a conversation with me. The DEA busted a Mossad agent in their office after hours, like 2 days before 9/11. Caught the guy. He broke in. They caught
him.
Yeah, and that went away. That just went away.
Of course, yeah.
And I remember, and this guy was for real. I mean, this DEA guy, I knew him. I mean, he used to send me cartel pictures where the heads were cut off and on raids and all, where they'd go in and there was so much money. The entire rooms and the houses would be stacked with hundreds, you know.
Yep.
This guy was as bona fide real as possible. And he told me, he says, we popped Mossad in our office 2 days before 9/11. You know what? It might even been the day before.
I could be wrong about this. I think it might have been on that Monday,
Jed, my buddy's name was Jed.
Okay. Because I remember you speaking about that.
I met him through this show. He was a listener, and he contacted me.
Turned out
he was DEA, and we went back and forth for years. We're a great guy. But they popped Mossad in the DEA office down in Texas. Yeah. Just like the day before 9/11.
Okay. Essentially, the problem I have is everything that we're hearing is a lie. And I go back to this Epstein client list. On February 21st, Pam Bondi said, hey, it's sitting on my desk right now to review. It was part of a directive, you know, ordered by President Trump. And then shortly afterward, her and Cash Patel pledged to end the Epstein cover-up. And she appeared on Fox News, as usual. In fact, the Vigilant Fox did this. And then, folks, I want you to pay attention. Eric the Tech, if you can, it'd be my second bookmark, I think. The Vigilant Fox reported on this. So there it is right there. Again, you've got the what I said in terms of Pam Bonney in February. Yeah, it's on my desk. And if you scroll down, Eric the Tech, there's a video. It's a 28-second video. If you want to, well, you know what? Let's do it right there. Wait a second. Hang on a minute. Did I miss something? This is a good video clip. Randy Taylor, have you seen this?
I can't say I have. Maybe when it gets rolling, I don't know.
Okay. Can we play that, Eric the Tech? This is a really good video clip. Really, what changed? But in that thread, what I want to mention before this, there's a photo op of all of these social media influencers holding up the white binders.
I remember that.
Folks, you remember me telling you about the consortium of people
outside the White House?
Yeah, exactly. There's a core part of that. Okay, so pay attention to that. You wouldn't catch me there. No. You wouldn't catch Randy Taylor there. No, because we're not falling for that crap. But the video clip, Eric, that you had posted, this goes into some detail, and I think I think this summarizes it nicely. And it speaks to, of course, the Epstein situation, but it also speaks to many other factors that Randy Taylor was talking about and we've been talking about. So if we can play that, that'd be great.
So let's play this, and then we'll talk about it.
99%
on Epstein, Bill Barr is the one that needs to be called in to give sworn testimony on what happened there at Bureau of Prisons, because there's just no way that the story you're getting is the real story there. No freaking way, and Bill Barr knows it. I actually think that on Epstein, it was a foreign government that took him out. I don't think it was a domestic enterprise.
Really?
Gee, I'm not going to say which one, but I don't think it was.
I will. It's the Mossad. But anyway,
I think that was a foreign operation, government sponsored.
So foreign operation took out Epstein inside of our prison.
Yes.
So they must have been allowed to.
Oh, I think it was in concert with people in our government.
Of course.
But not at like some, you know, low level guard getting bribed kind of way.
Yeah,
at a state to state level.
So that's probably a lot of partied interests in keeping that under wraps.
You better believe it. Weapon systems at play, global deals at play.
The U.S. government is in bed with a foreign government, which he means Israel, to kill Jeffrey Epstein because there's all kinds of international dollars at stake.
Interesting. You have data, you have evidence to back that up?
I just am positing it as a theory.
Wow. Okay.
I can't imagine why he's being so heavily targeted. Matt Gaetz isn't funded by the Israel lobby.
Yeah. Funny how that works.
So there you go.
Yeah.
So there you go. So what came next was he actually had to withdraw his name from nomination. That's what happened because GOP senators said they wouldn't back it. I wonder if he was threatened. Breaking. An unidentified hacker has gained access to a computer file shared in a secure link among lawyers whose clients have given damaging testimony related to Matt Gaetz. the former Florida congressman who was President-elect Donald Trump's choice to be attorney general. The file of 24 exhibits is said to include sworn testimony by a woman who said that she had sex with Mr. Gitz in 2017 when she was 17.
Where have we heard this story before? These hackers have such convenient timing to time these leaks and hacks to significant elections and confirmations, and they always seem to have information that doesn't come out the way it should. It's like, why is the FBI not pursuing this and prosecuting him for this? I mean, there has been an investigation into Gates after the allegations were initially made when he got controversial in the first place, and they didn't go anywhere.
So, Yashir Ali says, Patrick, the allegation in the story is a serious one. Yeah. I know it's a serious allegation. It's one that they've been making. They said the same thing about
Julian.
That's
why they use it.
That's why they use it. They did the same thing to Julian Assad. They do, oh, he's a rapist. They did the same thing to Russell Brand. They do the same thing to everybody that they want to silence. The FBI should and will investigate. They already investigated it.
It sucks being set up by the government and surveilled by the government. And sometimes it takes far too long to be able to clear those matters up.
May I say, one little reported facet of my case is one of the federal agents involved in one of the operations against me said that they intended to plant child porn in my husband's computer. This is the FBI. There's been a case that's currently in litigation unrelated in which an FBI agent has testified that they did that. They have done that. It was not accomplished in my case. I guess the curtain was drawn on that facet of the operation prior to them doing it. But imagine how you ever get out of that. They knew we had a young daughter at home and had allegedly conspired to do that.
I wonder if he was threatened. So let's play.
You guys, everybody remembers on 9/11, if you were listening to AM radio all that day, especially the Glenn Beck show. I remember a reporter saying that plane was just shot down.
Yes.
Shanksville. Okay. Yeah. I remember that said, away with the reporter. Never heard from again. Okay. I remember with the London bombings. Okay. The guy came out and he said something. And right away, whisked away. And I don't remember what it was, but
that
something.
Was the 11/11. Was that?
Yeah, it was after the day when I was at your house with you, and I had said that London was going to be attacked, and it was attacked the next day.
I remember that. I just don't remember the day.
And people were like, how do you know that? How did he know that? It was a lucky guess. Okay, it just happened to happen that way. But here's my point. Those people Those people say something, a reporter says something, boom, they disappear.
Yep.
Okay? Never hear from them again. Their name's never given. It's almost like they're cut off in mid-speech on the air. So I remember a reporter saying that Bill Barr went in to see Jeffrey Epstein the day before he died. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I remember it because I heard it, and I was like, whoa. Then you're going to tell me the most famous prisoner in America, his cameras were shut off and all. You're going to tell me that's what happened? Do I look stupid?
No.
And we should all be very angry about that. Bill Barr, that fat little son of a bitch, knows something.
Yep.
I'll be honest with you. I don't even know that Epstein's dead. I don't know. They may have squirreled their ass out away.
You know, for the longest time, I was absolutely convinced that, you know, he was an expendable asset and he needed to be dead. However, now I'm warming up to what you've been saying for a long time.
I think he had stuff laid away to protect himself.
He'd be foolish not to.
Think about it.
Yeah.
I would have been padded. Oh, I would have been padded. Doug would have been padded.
Yep.
You always, when you go into those type of relationships, you always make sure I have recordings of meetings of the people I was working with.
And that has, that's kept you alive.
And I made sure because I was like, they're not going to take me out.
Yep.
I'll scream to the wall. And I made sure particular people that they don't even know I know.
Yep.
Are with specific instructions if anything happened to me. To go to the nearest news outlet and also to go to Doug and deliver DVDs and flash drives. Okay, because I've got some really interesting conversations that I taped. I did that to cover my ass.
And I'll tell you this, they still exist, folks.
Yes, they
and,
do.
You know, so.
They'd be mighty embarrassing.
And they're still usable today.
If you wanted to know the kind of deals that these guys make with people, yeah. Mine's just an example, and I was a good guy. Yeah. I would imagine the deals they make with bad guys. And I made sure they knew that I had these things, but I also told them, you guys don't screw with me. Don't you worry about it. I would never, no one would overhear them play.
Well, okay. And I think this.
This whole Epstein thing, Doug, I'm still not. And I'll tell you why, because I saw some photos of the body that left.
Yes.
And I remember looking at Epstein, side shots of Epstein, different angles from just photographs, casual photographs, and then seeing the different angles on this corpse.
Yeah. Yeah.
Things didn't line up for me. Not to my satisfaction, maybe to other people's satisfaction, but not to mine. And I'm really pretty good with recognition stuff. Doug's very good at it. I happen to be very good at it. Okay, because I mean, I look at something and immediately I'm measuring from the ears, everything. I've got certain things that I taught myself years and years ago that I've always used as tools that I'm rarely wrong. That's one of the reasons why I can tell you that
I have watched in that picture. I've watched you, and folks, this is not to, again, not to blow smoke up his butt, but I've watched him look at an image and be able to narrow down the leaf on a tree say, okay, this had to be in this part of the world.
Yes. You know? We did that with Iraq. We saved some people because of water lines on the wall that I spotted watching a video. And I said, wait a minute, those soldiers are being held in a floodplain, and you don't have too many of them. You don't. And I said, look, I said, that's a house that's been underwater for some time.
Yep.
At some point in time, that house was underwater for some time, and we were able to retrieve some personnel. Okay. Because I was able to do that. I also recognized the electrical, the outlets. There's just certain things. If your mind's tuned in, that you catch that everybody else might just glance at and go.
And
there's a couple soldiers alive today because I knew where they were.
And
I'm not patting myself on the back.
Well no, but that's factual, and it's relevant to your assessment of the photos released of Epstein.
It bothered me. Those photos did not look like Epstein. It was kind of close, but to me it didn't look like Epstein, and I thought, you know what, it wouldn't be above him to whack somebody that looked like him. Always, you know, I don't know how these people, I know how they operate, and I know that they always have things in reserve,
right?
Always have plausible deniability, always have, so you know, they could have three or four people that they knew that looked like Epstein that they thought, you know what, whoever needed it, there's a body right there. He's breathing, but guess what? He won't be tomorrow.
I vacillated a lot because I didn't see any conclusive evidence. Nope. You know, I don't trust images that are given to me unless I can authenticate them.
Yeah.
And
the ones that I saw of the corpse were unauthorized. They were like, it reminded me of when I had Saddam Hussein. I had video of him being hung.
Yes.
On video that someone had done on a video phone, and they witnessed the execution and they filmed it, and then they stuck it in a file in Southeast Asia, which just happened to be a file repository that I had been robbing for years. Literally. That's yep. how I knew what Al-Qaeda was doing, was yep. because I was in those files. They didn't know that I was in and out. I knew their passwords. And I'd go right in and get this stuff. And I went in one day, and there's this boom. Boom, Saddam Hussein being hung.
Yep.
And I was like, oh, my God. And you know what? If I had been smart, I would have sold that and made $1 million from it.
If I'm not mistaken, it was like 24, 36, maybe even 2 days before it became
before
public.
Before it surfaced anywhere. I marked right. it. In fact, I marked it Archangel and stuck it on a forum. Then it got circulated. But it was a weird time, like a holiday or something. I couldn't get a hold of Doug. I couldn't get a hold of Steve Emerson. I didn't know what to do with this thing. You know what I mean? But at the same time, I wanted to let them know that, you know, I had it before anybody. So I naturally sent it into the people I worked with normally, and they were like, oh, you know, this isn't sourced. I'm telling you, it was Saddam being hung, and then turns out there it is on NBC News, you know, with Ted Koppel or whatever.
And I'm fairly certain they got it from your upload.
Probably. Yeah.
Okay, because
it's easy to scrub. You can scrub the name right off of something.
Exactly. And recalling that time period.
They used to steal stuff from us all the time.
Oh, hell yeah.
And then put in DHS reports, and like they gathered the intel.
And then prohibited you from accessing or using it.
Yeah, they mark it confidential. Yeah. I gave it to them. They mark it confidential, and they wouldn't even discuss it with me.
Right. And that's so that brings me to the larger issue here with only 11 minutes left of the show, or I'm sorry, 10 minutes, 9 minutes left of the show. I just want to let people know that, you know, folks, because things are not right. For example, today, again, just one more thing about the Epstein client list. The Department of Justice and the FBI released a new report today that says that Epstein, A, had no clients, B, did not blackmail anyone, and C, definitely killed himself. Now, that's directly from FBI and DOJ. Trump's FBI and DOJ.
I don't.
Yeah.
That's a lie.
It's a lie.
And something's turned up here just recently with Kash Patel.
Yep.
This girl he's dating,
yes,
is somehow tied in with Israeli intelligence. If yep. that's the case, we got a real problem. We have yeah. a real yep. problem, ladies and gentlemen. You see what I'm saying, Doug? This is just more things that are bothering me because I can't explain them away. It's reminding me like when Bush was president. You know, everybody was rah rah rah. Let's go to Iran and kill people. You know,
yeah.
We should have questioned that. And I'm as guilty as the next one because I wanted
as well.
Yep. I wanted some ass. I did for 9/11. I wanted it. But then I think about the stuff that I supplied that I turned around and I've got Colin Powell talking about the aluminum tubes.
Oh, yes.
I gave them that information. And then when I went back later, a couple of years later, I wasn't too sure that they didn't plant that information for me to find.
And we have to, that's the other thing. The intelligence agencies, as they were and as they are now, as well as the media, none of this is broken. It's operating flawlessly the way they want it to operate.
Yeah. It's corrupt up to our eyeballs. We are, ladies yeah. and gentlemen, listen, I want you to think about something tonight when you sign off here. I want you to think long and hard about everything that we've talked about tonight, just in this short little time span. Okay, starting with that election win. Okay, why is it 4 years prior to that? Why is it 4 years prior to that? We were still, a week after the election, still counting ballots. We still had mail-in ballots this time. We still had all the election problems, okay, as far as the way things were handled this time. But why was everything done at about 10 o'clock that night? Doug and I were on the air that night.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm going to say it was about 10:30, and they were calling the presidency. Boom. We were still on the air, Doug.
And I think it really became official, I think, right around midnight.
Yeah.
But
a few people had called it verbally, yeah. And they wouldn't say it officially, but they were like, well, you know, the way we can see it, Donald Trump has won.
Yeah, there's no path to victory. I think that was at 10:30.
Yeah. And we're like, well, what's going on here? Last time you guys couldn't even find the ballots till 10 days after. You know what I mean?
But, that's true.
And suddenly we've got a clean win. And it wasn't because of, they didn't do anything at the voting machines. It's still the same crap. It was still Democrats on the voting machines.
Yep.
So tell me what happened, ladies and gentlemen, please help me out. But I want you, don't pass judgment on me or Doug for questioning Donald Trump. I want you to question the possibility that we've been taken advantage of. It's possible.
That's a great way of putting it.
Now, if I get a phone call from the White House tonight, okay, then if somebody shows up at my door, okay, listen, all I'm saying is something is wrong.
Amen to that.
Something's wrong, folks. And I wouldn't bring this up if you weren't intelligent people.
And the other thing, next week, by the way, this week, the Friday is my dog lady's 11th birthday, but 2 days after that is July 13th, you know, J13, and it's a year, of course, it marks a year since the assassination attempt. We still don't have the truth on that, and there was a lot wrong there.
I'll tell you the truth, there was more than one shooter. Now everything that played out that day, I'm even starting to question some of that.
Oh yeah.
However, I don't give a damn what anybody says. There was more than one shooter.
And
that kid on the roof was sacrificed.
100%.
He thought he was going home.
Yep.
And that video that he made, laughing about it, he thought he was going home, ladies and gentlemen.
100%. And I look, from two people that have been in the investigation on that, and, you know, a legitimate client, they own that information once we develop it. However, there's certain things we can say.
We can still question it.
Yeah, yeah.
Because we haven't said anything that's, boom, that's affirmative. That's absolutely 100% correct.
Right.
Because so much of it is circumstantial. However, there's some things in there that I'm questioning.
Right.
And I know it doesn't sit right with Doug, even though neither one of us has come right out and said that to each other. I know this bird, and he knows me. There's something ain't sitting right there. But we'll get to the bottom of it. If not, they'll be burying us somewhere.
Well, and speaking of that, I just want to tell people that. And by the way, thank you for praying for my surgical procedure.
Aww,
it was
brother.
The bottom line is this: they went in, looked at things, and said can't do it this way, and they closed me back up and sent me home. Okay,
which I'm happy in part that they did, Doug, because it means they're going to do it the right way, and they weren't going to take a chance.
Well, yeah,
that part I thank God for.
However,
I just wish that they had been able to do what they were going to do.
Right, and I don't want to get into it, but except to say this: between my health, my status, and that man, his health, his status, what we've been through, what we're facing, facing.
Eric, throw my video up of me walking. Throw it on the screen,
if you can.
I sent it to you earlier. If you can throw that up there. You guys get to see. Oh, okay.
So the here's the bottom line. Wednesday night, you're going to come back. But here's the bottom line with this. Folks, we are going to be dropping information because we need to drop information. Whether it's from 1995 to the present, we're going to be dropping information. Randy Taylor, investigator extraordinaire. A counterintelligence, terrorist investigations as well. We're going to be dropping information, and we need your support. We need your help for us to stay on the air. Okay.
Please, ladies and gentlemen, I know it's hard right now. It's great to get. We're worth a cup of coffee, I hope. Amen. I hope that.
So